Welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas, the magical podcast that will help you navigate the crowded world of sentimental holiday specials. Join hosts Brendan Bowes and Deirdre McCarthy as they discuss, critique, and lay bare your favorite Christmas movie tropes. So spike that eggnog and get ready for today's Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Hey, welcome to Cheese, Wine, and Christmas.
Yay!
Yay! Christmas podcast about bad cheesy Christmas movies or good cheesy Christmas movies.
Yeah, I mean, they're interchangeable.
Yes.
Based
well,
on
some
our experience so far.
Yeah, some are one and some are the other. So after a deep, dark dive in the last Christmas special that ended in a shootout and death by cop, we really aimed for more in the rom-com type of area, and we picked the cheesiest title we could find.
Yes.
Which was The Night Before Christmas, Night spelt K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yes.
Like knights and medieval
Renaissance
stuff.
Yeah.
So everybody loves a good time travel movie,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
So this is a time travel movie between a medieval knightdom.
1300s.
Yep.
England.
England. And Ohio.
Because
why not?
When you think of Christmas.
I definitely think of Ohio.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The winter wonderland.
Mm-hmm. And it's in 2019
correct.
That time period. So we go back and forth. So our male protagonist is in the Knight Kingdom. He's a knight.
Yep.
And we meet him getting ready on some big hunt with his brother. They all have crazy manor type names from fancy villages.
Yeah. The main guy is Sir. His name on his credits is Sir Cole, but I think he introduced himself once as Sir Cole Christopher something Lyons or whatever.
Yes. Something. And the villages had very medieval names and so forth. And then we meet his love interest, who's the only big name in the movie that I can see, although somebody else might know.
Well,
someone.
I was more familiar with her sister.
Oh, okay. So Vanessa
Hudgens
was the female protagonist, right. And her name is Brooke in the movie.
I don't know if you saw it in the credits, but Vanessa is also the producer of this movie.
Oh, I see. So this is a vanity project.
I think
very nice. Okay. So Vanessa's in Ohio. She's the beautiful, single
high school teacher
who we get her take on love because one of her students, who's typically a straight-A student, gets a bad grade, and it turns out it's because she's sad, because
she's
been dumped. Right. And so our heroine here, Brooke, tells her there's no such thing as true love, and basically men suck, and so just get good grades and go be a famous
woman.
Focus
on your goals.
Right. So that's how we start. So we get her take on love. And our knight doesn't say anything bad about love, but he's very concerned with his quest.
He's very focused on his family and
completing his quest. So he's already a knight, but to be a true knight, you have to complete your quest. So he's off in the woods as part of a hunt, and he meets a quote-unquote old crone. I am not being mean. This is what he calls her continually. Old crone.
Times.
Hello, old crone.
Crone, where are
right,
you?
Crone. And she's like, you know, wizened and bent over and in the woods, robed in multiple hooded robes. And
she just walks from behind a tree.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's very concerned about her. She's out in the cold. And we were just discussing that we think this is sort of a flip on the Beauty and the Beast story where the beast does not help the old crone that comes to the door, and he's cursed. So this dude is a truly good gentleman, and Cole is absolutely at her service, ready to help her. And so instead of accepting his help, she puts a mysterious medallion around his neck and says that he's going to complete his quest.
To become a true knight.
To become a true knight. And she says that this is his reward for being nice, but then gives him a deadline, which
or else
is
hell crumbles over.
Or like you just, your world goes back to hell.
Right. And the deadline is
Christmas Eve, right? The
midnight.
End of midnight of Christmas Eve, because it is a Christmas story.
Yeah.
Right. So off he goes through time, and he lands in the Christmas castle village. In this Ohio town. So their whole center of town is turned into a Christmas village, complete with a castle.
And he lands, if you've seen Terminator or Terminator 2, he ends up in that pose kneeling with his fist on the the ground. Mm-hmm.
In full knight regalia, but yes, without his horse. And his horse runs back to the castle alone, and they realize they've lost Cole. So that ties up the, you know, England for a while. And now Cole is in Ohio. And, you know, he's discovered there, and the policeman, you know, asks him what he's doing. Everybody thinks that he's a medieval player.
Right.
That's why it had to be a Christmas castle, because right, everybody had to think he was just in
cosplay. Cosplay.
So he's very much in character, and nobody gets thrown by that because they think he's just a method actor.
And when we say in character, he's talking all Renaissance.
Yes.
Like ye old English.
I prithee, yeah, and, you know, come hither, and all of that stuff.
Good sir.
Yeah, good sir. So, but he realizes he's in a different time period, and he doesn't care because he thinks
he catches on very quickly.
Yes, he thinks it's all part of the quest, and you have to believe in magic, right?
Right.
That's a big theme for him, is that you don't question stuff because he comes from a simpler time.
Yep.
So how does he and our fair maiden get together, you ask? Well, in typical Christmas story style, this will be the third time somebody's met by like literally hitting each other, either with a car or the luggage got hit, to people bump into each right other.
Well, no, she originally spills the hot chocolate.
Well, she spills hot chocolate on him first, right?
Right.
So yeah, that's true. So again, an accident. She's like pushed into him. She spills hot chocolate on him, which he declares the best mead he's ever tasted.
Yep.
So that way we can use Coco as a reoccurring ribbon throughout the whole movie. Nicely set up. At least it isn't something that doesn't come back around like our last movie. But they part ways. The snow is terrible, of course, as it is in these small Ohio towns.
Right, to the point where her windshield wipers aren't working.
Oh my God, she can't see a thing.
No.
What is she to do? And he doesn't know anything about cars, so he ends up in the middle of the street, and she hits him.
The headlights are on him, and he stares her down, and smack.
Yep, she hits him. So now we can account for his ridiculous behavior by thinking he has a head injury. See
correct
how like clever that is? And of course, he's got nowhere to go. He's got this amnesia, and she feels so guilty.
And it just so happened a cop was coming the other way
right
as the accident happened.
Right. So the cop, who knows our heroine, Brooke, because Brooke's father was a cop.
Correct.
So they worked together. So he's going to take him down to the station and take care of him. But
well, they went to the hospital first.
Yes, yes.
To examine his head.
Yes, and the doctor said he had amnesia, and he would get his memory back eventually.
Correct.
So what to do with him in the meantime?
I don't know.
So maybe we'll take him to the police station.
Seems like a reasonable
first
concept.
Right, of course, except Brooke feels guilty about that, and Cole does not want to go.
Right.
Right. But guess what? Even though Brooke is a single woman who's a school teacher.
High school teacher.
She has a giant, beautiful house and...
And
what else?
A guest house.
Yes, in the back.
In the back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with that neighborhood, it was hard to determine what the back was.
Yeah, the Christmas decorations were off the chain in here. This was like something out of, if you've seen the live Grinch one where they're all competing to decorate their houses. Right. That's what this looked like.
And the Griswolds on
yes.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Christmas
except
vacation.
No, because theirs weren't tasteful. These ones are tasteful.
True.
These are like, it's like a Christmas card. Everywhere you look, it's a Christmas card.
But yeah, the property lines were drawn weirdly and people were walking on each other's lawns.
Yeah.
And I don't think there were roads. It was
and
weird.
No, and then the village like blended in the whole where the castle was. People walked in and out of that.
Everyone lives 2 yards away from the village.
Right. So anyway, it's like they were trying to get as many tropes in here as possible. So, of course, she's got a sister, and the sister's got a young girl who is the Christmas trope of the wise young girl that teaches us all lessons, right? Because, you know.
And with the sister, we probably went back and forth 5 or 6 times to figure out if the sister was single.
Or married.
Or married.
But a husband shows up later. He was on a business trip. No reason
80%
why.
80% into the movie, he just shows up. He's like, hey, guys, I'm here.
Right. And he's good, and we like him, and there's no
right
chaos.
Bad chemistry.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's inexplicably.
Yeah, inexplicably.
A neighbor that was class flirt in high school that flirts with the knight and pisses off Brooke. That's the movie's way of telling us Brooke has feelings for him.
Yes.
So anyway, you might be wondering, how does he learn all about culture and how to get along in this world? Luckily,
it's the crone, 2019.
Right. So the crone told him that he would find magic boxes for whimsy or filled with merry. With merry that make merry. And yeah. She was talking about TVs, of course. Yeah. So he wasn't at all surprised to see the TV.
Oh, she also mentioned a steel dragon that turned out to be a plane that they showed once.
Yeah. So he wasn't surprised at that. He believed that the cars were steel steeds. Right. So he spends his first night in 2019, Ohio, watching TV all night long, which is excellent because the next morning he's an expert on all things 2019.
Oh, yeah. He got the lingo down.
He's got the lingo. He's wearing modern clothing.
Oh, right. Because Brooke's ex-boyfriend is a douche.
Yep. And left his clothes behind.
Yep.
And her sister owns a shop and brought him even better clothes.
Yes.
Like, so he's an incredibly well-dressed dude. Now, everybody else thinks he's got amnesia, but really early on, Brooke decides it's okay to believe magically and to have magical thinking. And maybe he really is a knight.
Yeah. She's
all for it. She gets drawn in
pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
That she's in that reality.
Right. So she's trying to help him find out what his quest is. So if you were wondering if his quest was saving her niece, who was for no reason at all stuck out on a frozen pond because her and her friend wandered away in a snowstorm. And
they begged the sister to go out.
It was like a terrible snowstorm and they were supposed to just play in the front yard, but they disappear. And she ends up in the middle of ice that's cracking.
The local park that has a frozen pond that right. The ice is thinner than...
Thin, right. So she's out there, the ice is cracking, and he teaches her to crawl across the ice and crawls and gets her and saves her. So, of course, that must be his quest, and he's a real knight,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Then yeah. The credits rolled. We were...
Oh, my God.
Then we came in here to...
Yeah. No, not at all. That is not his quest. Saving a young girl was not his quest. So next up for Questum is the possibility.
Yeah, at this point it just became, is this a quest? No. Is this a quest?
Right.
No. Is this a quest?
So now we're at the Christmas Eve party, which, again, let's throw a really important trope in there, which is the party that the whole village gathers at,
yes.
And it has deep meaning.
Because it was a tradition for Brooke and...
Brooke's parents used to throw it to help all the needy people in town. So Brooke's continuing it after her parents' death. Both of them are dead. And this is her first year doing it on her own. And it's like bigger and better than ever. And
now they started to charge people.
Right. So that money could go towards a charitable thing. Now,
just remember that for later.
Yeah, remember that. Spoiler alert. Somebody's getting some charity. So early on in the movie, before she knew him or trusted him at all, she asked for his help. So, of course, he's been helping her pull this off. So
he bakes bread. He's a baker.
Right. He also bakes. So he doesn't like the bread they're buying in the store
grocery
for the
store.
Party. So he bakes loaf after loaf after loaf. And one of them has a magic lucky bean in it.
And the bean means something. I just
it's
forget what it
is. It's just lucky.
Yeah.
It's whoever gets the bean in their piece of bread. It's kind of like king cake, right? For Mardi Gras.
Never heard about that.
King's cake, it's baked with a tiny little plastic baby in it. And the person who gets the baby, I always think somebody might choke and die. But
that's what I'm
it's
thinking.
A very special, you'll need to Google that later. King's
okay.
cake
King's
for Mardi
cake.
Gras.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, what was his second? So his second feat was at the party, or not at the party, before the party, when they're out in... The village looking for his quest. They're back to the castle looking for his quest.
Oh, right, yes.
Right, and somebody pickpockets this old lady, and he chases them down and captures them. So that
was the most weirdest, like, I could have choreographed that.
It was terrible. First of all, it was terrible that they were in the village. They're like, where could there be a quest? Well, we've been here for hours and no quest. Like, I don't even, were they, it sounded like they were doing that Pokemon thing where you capture Pokemons,
yeah,
right?
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, Pokemon Go. So.
Oh, it also should be noted, throughout the movie, what's his name? Sir Cole carries around an actual sword with him.
And nobody seems to be troubled by that.
No, he just brings it wherever, except When he's going on this quest and the old lady gets pickpocketed, he grabs a rubber sword from someone.
From one of the real cosplayers.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, the older woman we met earlier, because she helps with the Christmas
fundraiser.
Yeah. But sadly, her husband wasn't there because he hurt his back. But Cole gave a weird rambling cure for that included like oxtail and heated
wrapping his back in super hot cloth with cumin.
And oxtail. Something like that. So you know that's coming back around.
Yes.
Right? So she was thanking him for all of that when her pocket got picked and, you know, we capture the thief.
It was like a 16-year-old.
Right. But that's not his quest either. Because otherwise he would be sent back from where he belongs. That's how he'll know when he's reached his quest. So at the party, the flirt from next door, this is her whole purpose in being introduced as a flirt that drives Brooke crazy earlier. Her whole purpose was to come up with mistletoe and try to kiss Cole. Then, despite her being supposedly a after every man, doesn't care about
super
the women,
flirt.
Super flirt, she notices him looking at Brooke and she gives him the mistletoe and says, "This should be for someone you really have feelings for." So yep. I don't know where that came from.
Well, I mean, it wrapped the bow on that story.
Yeah, so then off she went with her fiery red hair because the flirts were always redheads. Sorry, Brendan, but the gingers are naughty. You know,
that's news to me.
Right. Well, that. So they, you know, they're trying to clean up. But guess what? The old people are so happy that the guy's back is fixed that they offer to clean everything up. So that just.
And they walk away.
And then they walk away. So they're like, yeah, we got all this. And then they leave, which leaves Brooke and Cole with nothing to do in the middle of the party. And so. Right.
Well, not only is the husband's back better. But he dances like a jig around.
Right. Yeah. He's like 80
all of his,
something.
All his movement from as soon as he walks on.
And her response is priceless. It's like she's not that happy about him being that spry. And it makes me think that it's a takeoff on what's the boner pills?
Viagra?
Yeah. Like, you know, all these guys are super psyched to get Viagra and their old wives who are like, oh, my God, I thought we were done with this are like pissed off. Anyway, that's just a side thought. So they kiss under the mistletoe and his little thing starts glowing around his neck. So,
well, to clarify, it wasn't under the mistletoe. He just took the mistletoe.
He waved it around like sage and then put it in his pocket and they kissed anyway.
He pulled it out of his pocket. And was like, I just want to confirm this old Christmas tale to see if we are supposed to kiss under the mistletoe. And he's holding it off to the side, nowhere above.
So. Yeah. So, you know, bad on the director for that. So he believes his quest is done and his thing lights up and off he goes because he's got to get back to his world because his brother is getting knighted on Christmas Eve.
It's very important for family.
So important that he's willing to leave this woman who he loves and she's crying and she's willing to let him go because that's what true love is. By the way, when they kiss, the crone is dressed as like Mrs. Claus and lurking in the background.
It's creepy.
It looks like she's a pedophile or something.
Ready to stab people.
Yeah, it's terrible. Well, not a pedophile. They're not young enough for that,
but like a stalker or something. Yeah.
So he goes back. Oh my God, his brother is so happy to see him in time.
To go back to the part where he's about to leave, like you said, she's accepting the fact that he's about to go, yet he continuously tries to apologize for leaving and just dumping his feelings on her. And you could tell she's getting sadder and sadder where all he had to do was just leave.
Yes, and like, you'll always be in my heart forever. Wherever I go, I'll serve you, but I'm still going. And pretty much, and I will be your knight forever, except I'm going to leave. Right. It was ridiculous.
And as soon as he finished his speech, smoke came and he was gone.
And he's gone. So now his brother sees him and cannot get over it because they thought he was lost in the storm and gone forever.
Yep.
Right? So that's happening on one side.
Well, his horse, I guess, sensed that he came back and immediately just ran out.
Ran and picked him up and there he is just in time for the whole knighting. On the other side in Ohio, Brooke is nursing her broken heart on Christmas with her sister, her brother-in-law, and her niece who gets a puppy that she asked for earlier and was told she was never going to get. It shows up in her stocking and nobody knows how it gets there.
Yep.
By the way, that story never gets tied up.
Nope.
We never find out where the puppy came from, and they name it Miracle. No, they
Knight.
They name it Knight. They suggest naming it Miracle, and they name it Knight, Knight with a K, right?
Yep. Both the mom and the dad are like, did you do it? No. Did you? No.
Did the aunt do it? No.
Nope.
Nope, but no explanation. And the aunt's cool with that. She's like, sometimes you just don't understand things, and that's okay.
Magic is cool.
So sometimes people break into your house and leave a dog. So, you know, that you don't want to take care of, but okay.
Deal with it.
Yeah. So that happens. And, you know, we're all psyched because Cole is at Jeffrey's knighting, except he immediately, despite how sure he was he had to leave at that moment, there was no choice but to leave. The second he gets into his world, he's sure he should go back. Right away, he's like, I made the wrong choice. I found the love of my life.
I mean, the conversation was essentially, the brother runs out and was like, hey, Cole, it's good to see you. It's been forever. Yeah, I got lost. I think I fell in love. Oh, well, go back.
Right, yeah. So we'll he's like, I think I should go back. And the brother's like, hell yeah, you should go back because love's super important. And he's like, damn right. And then he goes looking for the crone in the woods. She pops out from behind the same tree.
The same tree, just casually. Yep. Hey,
and
here
she's a little pissed because he didn't realize that Brooke was really his quest. But she gets won over in about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So she's really pissed and then really okay with it. Yep. He's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, okay. And then he goes.
I mean, the medallion lit up. I don't know what else he was supposed to do.
Right. So then he appears back, only this time he's got his horse with him.
Yep.
So that's happening on one side. On the other side, Jeffrey's been knighted, and now the old crone is after him. And it leaves us hanging about what's going to happen with him and his medallion. I'm like, is she just sending all of the knights into other years? Like, is that why there are no knights left? Because friggin' old crone just sent them willy-nilly into other centuries?
Yeah, I mean, apparently no one else really cared.
Right, and is he going to the same century? Is, like, Ohio going to wonder why they get a glut of weird knight-like people? Because it's the only...
No, Jeffrey gets Wyoming.
It's got to be a place with a Christmas castle. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense, right?
I think there's one in, like...
So I feel like Vanessa, the producer slash
actress,
stole from every movie, right? So there's a ton of references to other movies all through this.
Well, it should be noted as the movie ends.
Wait, I haven't gotten to that yet. So,
okay.
So I'm going to say there's a ton of references. So there's the whole like Terminator stance. There was at least, they actually say out loud like 3 or 4 movie references. They're very meta.
Yep.
And then... At the end, he comes back, like they're all in the Christmas village again, because, well, it's Christmas Day, so everybody's open
right
to their presents,
to everyone,
and they're
so
all in the village.
Might as well
like,
just walk out the door and be there.
Right, celebrating Christmas with the miracle puppy, and he appears, because, of course, now he's decided to go back, and the crone has sent him back, and he's there with his horse.
Well, he doesn't even make a fantastic entrance. Right, he just walks up behind and is like, hey, I'm here.
So, like, wherever he poofed in, even though the whole town is in the village, nobody
noticed.
And
this time it's not just him. It's him
it's
and a big
horse.
Big horse.
Right, so I'm not sure where that happened, but it happened. And here he is, and he's, you know, ready to take her away. So he puts her on the horse, and they walk through the village, off into the sunset, with people saying things like, look, they're so romantic. Oh, what a beautiful couple. And all I can think about is it's the end of Greece.
Oh, right.
With the car, right? Yeah. And then you even said the horse is going to have to fly off into the... If it did, it would have been full-on Greece ending.
Right. Well, no, I believe my line is, if the horse didn't fly out at the end, this movie's bullshit.
Right. And it didn't,
no,
so
it
I
didn't.
Guess this movie's bullshit. Yeah, but
there's my rating.
Yeah, so it's literally like she stole a little snippet from everything.
A little bit of everything. I mean, the writers probably started that snowball, and then she probably added more.
But I will say, having said all of that, it was some super fluff, and it did not, it was a good palate cleanser from the last dark nastiness. This is what you want for mindless Christmas movies.
This movie is the specific vision that we had for this podcast.
Yes.
And right off the bat, we've had sharp lefts and sharp rights. So we're veering back into the driving lane.
And I will give them credit for circling back most of the stuff. The puppy doesn't get resolved. But right. most of the other stuff gets resolved and circled back. Yep. So I give them credit for that, because it doesn't work in this genre if you don't tie everything up with a neat Christmas bow, literally.
Exactly.
It's super fluffy and sweet and feel good. Everybody learns in the end. You know, so that's all. It visually, it just says Christmas all yep. day, every day. I did think that this set looked cheap.
Yes.
Like, even though it was fancy Christmas decorations, like, it looked, there weren't a whole lot of different settings.
No, this, I think they only had one stage that they had yeah. to yeah. really.
This was definitely low budget.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this was low budget.
I mean, I don't think Vanessa Hudgens has a whole lot of money.
Right, right.
To throw at a film, unless yeah. she has her investors. But even then, they yeah. probably didn't have a lot to spend.
So not offensive, not, you know, right. I mean, it didn't, but, and it was silly. And
right. I mean, it's not like El Camino, where they had all these super actors out of nowhere.
That, and then it was, they all died, and it was right. gunfire.
I mean, like I said, the only other actress I knew is the sister, and that was mm-hmm. because she was on Entourage.
Yeah, I think this was light and fluffy, and if you're trying to zone out with some spiked nog, that this is the one to go with.
I'm just seeing what other movies the old crone has been in.
Yeah, the old crone, by the way, was not old enough.
No.
No,
you could tell. I mean, even this, she looks like
yeah.
Kathleen Turner in the 80s.
Yeah, she definitely wasn't old enough to be an old crone, but...
Night and Before Christmas is her first credit.
I would say that also she was the worst actress in it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a good thing she was a small part, because she was actually offensively bad as an actor. The rest of them were perfectly fine actors. It was the yep. writing that was silly and fluffy.
Yep.
But I was... And I, you know what? The little girl in me kind of liked the... The night stuff was really authentic looking, like the cat. Those
mail.
Were probably the best scenes. Was the castle scenes, like as oh, far yeah. as yeah. if you're talking about cinematography and everything, and just the idea that those two worlds could collide. You
I
know?
Mean, even the at the end where Brooke finds the gauntlets mm-hmm. on the chair, hand over hand, those looked real.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
those looked heavy.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give this an 8. You know, for what it is. I'm going to give it an 8.
For the purpose of what
yeah.
we're going for, I would give it above 5. I don't know a specific number yet.
Well, you got to give it a number. Come on. It's the end of
six
the podcast.
And a half. Six and a half.
He is much harder on this than me.
I don't want to draw that line for mm-hmm. perfect
you,
movie
well,
just
if
yet.
If you think it's getting better than this, I think you're in for a long December. That's all I'm going to say. But I give it an 8. And on that note, thanks for tuning in to today's Cheese, Wine, and
Christmas.
Christmas.
We will see you tomorrow.
Have a holly jolly tomorrow.